This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin, and we're here to answer your questions.
My name is Luke.
Hi, my name is Natalie.
This is Stephanie in San Diego.
I drive for Uber and Lyft, but my wife is pregnant and her doctors don't think it's safe for me to continue to drive.
I'm retired and I'm living on a widow's social security.
The big question that's on my mind.
I'm wondering.
My question is, for relief money, what is the government using to determine someone's income?
What is known about the effects of the virus on individuals who have asthma?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Tonight, we'll get to your questions about the impact of the coronavirus pandemic on all facets of life, the economy, your health, the food industry, and sports. Keep your questions coming. You can send them to us at npr.org/nationalconversation or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Use the hashtag NPR Conversation. But every night, we begin the National Conversation by answering the question, what happened today? 3.28 million Americans lost their jobs last week and filed for unemployment. President Trump said he thought the number could have been higher.
But it's a lot of jobs. But I think we'll come back very strong. The sooner we get back to work, you know, every day that we stay out, it gets harder to bring it back very quickly.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell told NBC's Today Show an economic recovery depends on stopping the virus.
It will really depend on the spread of the virus. The virus is going to dictate the timetable here.
The $2 trillion recovery bill passed in the Senate and heads to the House for a vote tomorrow. The total cases in the U.S. reached 85,000, with more than 1,200 dead. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said they're rushing to build 1,000-bed hospitals in all five New York City boroughs.
We're literally adding to the hospital capacity every way we can.
Louisiana's governor said they could be out of ventilators by the first week of April. The White House said they'll issue guidelines for labeling U.S. counties high, medium, or low risk. Will things get back to normal soon? Jeremy Conondak, a former Obama administration official now at the Center for Global Development, says that's the wrong question.
The relevant question right now is, holy God, how do we build a Manhattan Project for public health over the next 2 months so that we can avoid losing hundreds of thousands of American lives?
Around the world, there are more than 500,000 cases. China announced they're temporarily closing their borders to all foreign nationals starting Saturday, while in Italy, more than 8,000 people have died, including 40 health workers. Here with the latest and to answer some of your questions is NPR's political and economics reporter, Danielle Kurtzleben. Danielle, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Michelle.
A lot to talk through tonight and lots of questions about what happened today in Washington. So what's the latest? What can you tell us?
All right, so let's stick to the coronavirus relief package, because judging by the questions we've been getting, that's something our listeners are paying a lot of attention to. So like you said, the Senate passed it. My Capitol Hill colleagues here at NPR say it's set to pass the House tomorrow morning. The president is set to sign it. But one more thing to pay attention to here is the timing, because Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said today on CNBC that he's expecting the money to get to people in 3 weeks. And, well, maybe, because my colleague Vanessa Romo and I at NPR, we've been talking to tax experts all day today. And what they say is, look, if you filed your 2019 taxes, if you e-filed, if you gave the IRS your direct deposit information, you might get your money around then. But if you're expecting a physical check, if yours is a more complicated situation, it could be a bit longer than that, even months. Mm.
And as you said, lots of questions about this from listeners. And our first is from Stephanie in San Diego. And here it is.
For relief money, what is the government using to determine someone's income? The 2019 tax return or an individual's W-2s? What about young adults who were in college or grad school last year in 2019 with no income but who are now employed? What about dependents still in high school but who are 18?
Okay, Danielle, what can you tell us?
All right, there's a lot of questions there, so let me sort of tick through them one at a time. So first off, Stephanie there asked about what information the government is using. They're first and foremost going to use your 2019 taxes. That is the taxes you are filing this year that are due on July 15th, as opposed to April 15th. The IRS bumped that out. So if you filed those. Now, if you haven't yet, and a lot of people haven't, the IRS, the Treasury, they will use your 2018 tax return. Now, if you didn't file taxes in either of those years, for example, if you didn't have enough income, then they'll use your Social Security benefits information. So a few different layers there. Mm-hmm. Now, second off, she asked about young adults who were in school last year, maybe say a 20-year-old who was in college and who had very little income. That sort of person, if they're not a dependent, that's key, then they're probably entitled to the money, but it means they'd probably have to file taxes to get the money, even if they otherwise wouldn't file. So a big key here is getting the IRS your information so they can get the money to you. That final question she asked about dependents who are 18, experts explained to me that those folks would not get the money because they are dependents. So it doesn't matter your age, if you're 18 or if you're 80, if someone claims you as a dependent, you're probably counted out here.
Okay. And next we have Susanna from Grass Valley, California. Let's listen to her question.
I'm retired and I'm living on a widow's Social Security, but I have a small Airbnb, which of course is now not functioning. I'm wondering, will the money that the government is providing go to Social Security recipients with a low income also?
Thanks, Susanna. Danielle, what about that?
Yes. So the short answer is yes. I mean, if you're an adult, if you're not a dependent, like I said, if you have a Social Security number and you're under those income thresholds, then you can safely expect that you're eligible. So but if you're a lower income adult who isn't on Social Security, by the way, and if you haven't filed taxes, it looks like you would have to file taxes this year, even if you would owe nothing, just to get that money. But one important thing I want to add here, though, is some of these questions about logistics, how to get the money, who has to file and when. One expert I consulted pointed out that people are very understandably scared right now. But this bill, it will pass the House once it gets signed into law. After that, we can expect much more guidance from Treasury and the IRS that will make us much more certain about how exactly this would work. For example, Social Security recipients, whether they'll get direct deposit, how that might work.
Okay.
Washington has worked fast on this. Yeah. So it could be next week when we get that guidance.
All right. TBD. Stay tuned. Okay. Our next question is from Lisa in San Francisco. I think I'm going to read this one. And Lisa writes, I work in a restaurant that's currently doing curbside pickup or delivery only. However, there are other staff members at the restaurant during business hours. I'm trying to shelter at home because my husband is in his 70s. I have the opportunity to work part-time during off hours when I can keep distance from my coworkers. I'm curious, though, as to whether the $600 weekly payout to augment unemployment is only available to those who are completely furloughed. I'd like to work, but I have to think about the financial impact to my household. So, Daniel, what do you think?
That is a very tough one. So here's what I can answer for this listener. Partial unemployment benefits already exist, even without this bill. But generally, they apply to people who have had their hours cut, who would prefer to work more, not people who choose to work part-time. So that may be different in this person's case. So it's hard to say exactly how this person's case might come out. Now, as far as that $600 payment, I reached out to legal experts. Here's more uncertainty for you. They weren't 100% clear how that would work either, whether this people getting partial unemployment under this bill would get that full $600. I mean, the bottom line with all of these questions, as always, is this. This bill was passed with expediency in mind to prop up a deeply troubled economy as soon as possible. So some of these nitty-gritty case-by-case questions, we're just going to have to get more clarity on them as we get more guidance, as the rubber meets the road, as states and the federal government figure this out.
You know what that means, Danielle? It means you have to come back next week and tell us more. Okay.
I'm more than happy.
All right. That's Danielle Kurtzleben, who covers politics and economics for NPR. Thank you. And joining us now is NPR science correspondent and senior editor Rob Stein. Rob, welcome back to you as well.
Hi, nice to be here.
So many questions for you. At the White House briefing today, we heard they may soon be offering guidelines to labeling counties around the country as high risk, medium risk, or low risk. What does that mean, and how would that work?
Yeah, you know, public health experts say they're glad to hear federal officials promising to use, you know, hard data to make decisions about how to fight the virus, but they're kind of scratching their heads about how we'd really get that kind of data anytime soon. You know, we're just still not doing anywhere near enough testing to provide that kind of granular data you'd need for that advice. I mean, just because a county hasn't reported many cases doesn't mean they don't really have them. And even if they don't, they could just be the next tinderbox for the next big outbreak.
And our next question speaks to that. I mean, this is from Becca in Connecticut. Let's listen.
I am scared by the president's announcement of April 12th as being the end of the measures we are taking to prevent the pandemic of coronavirus, because I have four factors of risk factors, and I don't want to end up getting sick.
And that's something that we've talked a lot about. I mean, what will happen once we're out of this period of heavy restrictions? Clearly, some people are chomping at the bit to get back out here. But you also hear worry about what happens if that happens too soon. So, Rob, what are you hearing?
Yeah. So, you know, it's totally understandable, Becca, that, you know, you'd be concerned if you're at such high risk. It must be really stressful right now. And a lot of public health experts are equally concerned. The president seems to be backing away a little from the idea that he'll recommend opening up the country by Easter Sunday. And he's promising he won't do anything rash. And no matter what the White House says, it's pretty clear we're all going to have to continue to stay vigilant to protect each other from this virus as this thing kind of goes on for a while.
All right. Rob Stein, thank you so much once again. All right.
Sure. You bet, Michelle.
You can hear much more of our extensive coverage when you download the NPR One app. Go to the Explore tab and click on the coronavirus outbreak for a curated stream of stories. If you have questions about COVID-19, we want to help. Go to npr.org/national conversation. Up next, medical questions.